Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. This is your host, Cedric Chabaz, live in Las Vegas. Moved the studio to outside in a park today. It's a beautiful day in Las Vegas, and it's finally looked like it's going to be fall going into winter. Today's show, but once again, this is God Brother Radio. Today's show will be called Why Did Donald Trump Win? Like everyone who voted for Hillary Clinton, I was in shock on November 8th, 2016. I give it to the Trump campaign and the RNC for a great planned out strategy to win the presidency. The very fact that the Republicans used voter suppression in North Carolina by eliminating 158 poll places in the African-American community was an advantage, and some people might say brilliant. Also, they calculated that the economy would be the most important subject to the majority of European Americans, 30% of Asian Americans, other 30% of non-Mexican Latinos in Florida, 13% of African-American men, and 8% of African-American community as a whole chose economics over Donald Trump's agendas, like deporting 11 million undocumented immigrants, building a wall, repealing Obamacare, overturning abortion rights, banning immigrants who come from terrorist nations, and many, many right-wing agendas. Donald Trump betted on people's love of money, or should I say their God is money, over human beings. While his agenda is going on, all who voted for him for money will also have to take the responsibility of destroying millions of people's families. If your paychecks do not rise big league under his presidency, then the joke, scam, and con is on you, the biggest suckers. Well. You know, I remember when Donald Trump was running for the Republican nominee, and there were 16 or 17 other Republicans up there. I was thinking to myself, you know, Donald Trump is not going to be the Republican nominee. I was betting on that the Republicans was going to get together, put their resources behind one particular candidate to destroy Donald Trump. Well, they didn't do that. And the result is Donald Trump became the Republican nominee for the presidency of the United States of America. Now, when that happened, I was kind of happy because I was thinking, like, you know what? Hillary Clinton's not going to have any problem beating this guy. But, you know, over the months, I just couldn't believe when he called our Mexican brothers and sisters drug dealers and rapists, or I would say our Mexican immigrants, brothers and sisters, drug dealers and rapists. And I just couldn't even believe that that came out of his mouth. And that was actually supposed to be the introduction of his presidency to be president of the United States. It was really just, what? He really said that? You know? And I'm thinking, like, and then I didn't hear any pushback from the RNC. I heard a lot of Democrats, of course, and some independents, and not many Republicans stepped up and say, oh, that's wrong, oh, that's wrong, oh, that's wrong, you know. And I was like, man, you know, what's happening here? And then over the months, he started talking about a Muslim ban, talking about, you know, just stuff that I couldn't believe that was coming out of the mouth of somebody who was running for the president. And I was really, really ashamed. I was really, really, you know, I was really, really disappointed in the Republican establishment that they would, you know, a lot of them did back Donald Trump, but at the same time, they didn't stand up against him. And that was something that I was thinking was really, really interesting. You know, Lance Priebus, the head of the RNC chairman at the time, didn't say anything against him. Paul Ryan was neutral. You know, it was just ridiculous. You know, and then he had three main characters that started out to be the first ones to invest in Donald Trump. And, of course, that was Jeff Sessions of Alabama, General Flint, Rudy Giuliani, Chris Christie, and Newt Gingrich. Those were the five real players that was behind him. And then it was incredible that this guy named Steve Bannon of Breitbart.com, CEO, was also backing Trump. And I was thinking, you know, what is this world coming to? You know, are people that they're upset that they rather have Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton? Did they really hate Hillary Clinton that much to the point of not even put Donald Trump in power, you know? And over the months, I mean, I paid attention to every debate. I paid attention to everything that was going on, you know, and I couldn't believe the things that were coming out of this man's mouth, you know. And then he said that thing about a Mexican judge, and then he's talking about building a wall. And, you know, and I'm thinking, like, man, like I really believe that the majority of people in the United States will not be voting for this man. You know, I really thought that we were kind of like beyond a lot of this right-wing, alternative right, kind of hardcore Republican. It's even beyond being a Republican or a conservative. This is the alt-right or the alternative right, like they call them. And, you know, I was like, man, this world, I mean, you know, I just swore up and down that we were going to elect the first president of the United States, Hillary Clinton. So it just amazed me how things just went so, so down south. And, you know, and the thing that was very interesting was that Donald Trump had no experience in government or politics. And, you know, and the Republicans, and most Republicans were saying, you know, that they were tired of nominating these soft Republicans who didn't go after their opponent fiercely and ugly and everything else. I mean, they really wanted to really clobber Hillary Clinton, really wanted to dirty and muddy her up. And then, you know, and then it was like July sometimes, the director of FBI, Comey, comes out and he clears Hillary Clinton from any wrongdoing according to her emails. But then he went on to say, but she was sloppy at him and this and that. And so he also left some notes, apparently, when he's talking to the board about how she handled her email. So although it was an admission that she was not legally going to be charged, she was also convicted as being someone that was not trustworthy and, you know, this and that. And in a sense, you know, I'm not saying that Hillary Clinton is totally trustworthy. Of course not. You know, I'm not going to be like 100%, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the way they stuck with this email situation was interesting, because it really, they didn't have anything else on to really get on about her. I know they were talking about Benghazi, and they were talking about the relationship that is not functional with so-called Russia, and bringing up this and that, and then bringing up things in the past with her husband and all this and all that. So, you know, they really was grasping straws, but they really had a brilliant strategy going on. And, you know, and it was just astonishing. Once again, this is the host, Cedric Chavez, live from God Brother Radio, live here in Sin City, also known as Las Vegas. And we talked about, why did Donald Trump win? Feel free to call in, ask me any questions. You could call in at 213-943-3508. Once again, you could call in at 213-943-3508. You know, I was shocked. I was really shocked when Hillary Clinton lost to Donald Trump. I mean, I was sitting here thinking to myself, this cannot be happening. This cannot be happening. I mean, who in the people in their right mind will vote for this guy, will gamble on this guy, and all in the word of they want to make America great again. And, you know, the thing is that people, I mean, and then at the same time, our president-elect Obama was enjoying a 54, 56, 57% approval rating at the end of his term. He's a lame duck session right now. And I'm thinking, like, how could president be that approval ratings? And Hillary Clinton is not getting the support of the Obama coalition. And, you know, I was really hoping, because of President Obama, when he became elected as the President of the United States, he inherited a George Bush economy. He inherited the Great Recession. And he and the Democrats in the first 2 years of his term, because they had a Democratic Senate, went ahead and they pushed forward for I don't know how much it was, but I think it was almost $1 trillion in stimulus money to reboot the economy. And they also passed the Dodd-Frank bill, which was to regulate the Wall Street and the banking system. And they also saved the auto industry with the stimulation money. Plus, not only that, he basically passed Obamacare in the first 2 years of his presidency, and basically all of his accomplishment of the last 8 years has got us back to the point where we have created 15 million jobs, but we also have 20 million people now have health care. And, you know, he created some great legacy things, Marriage Equality Act for the LGBT community. I mean, he have done heroic legacy things that was astonishing. Now, I admit, you know, a lot of people are working more part-time than full-time, and they haven't seen their wages up, but you can't blame that on Obama. Now, here, a lot of Republicans talk about, well, you know, this is a 1.5% growth a year, GDP, economy, and it's not 3%, you know, a 3 or 4% GDP economy means that you have been successful economically. But at the same time, it was like, you know what, they don't take into account that he was trying to save the economy from crashing, and he did. He did. And, you know, a lot of Republicans' theory is about taxes. They feel like, well, you know, if we cut corporate taxes from 35% to 15%, that they would create a lot of jobs and wages will rise. Well, you know, that's not necessarily true, because George Bush cut taxes for those 8 years, and basically, yeah, there was a lot of jobs, but there was also there were jobs of low wages still, and not only that, the rich people got richer. And he didn't add too many more jobs over his 8 years. So, you know, and now that the Republican establishment wants to, like I said, reduce the corporate tax from 35% to 15%, you know what's going to happen? When those rich people and those businesses get that tax break, all they're going to do is put the amount of savings they have now into their pocket. They're not going to hire no more new people and create new jobs. That's just a scam. They're going to put the money right in their pocket. I mean, why should they? I mean, think about it. Business is not doing too bad under this recession that has been recovered. It hasn't been too bad at all. You know, what a lot of people don't say is that the rich people got richer over the last years of Obama's policies also. You never hear no rich people complaining, you know. Never hear them complaining. What you do is you hear rich people complaining about the middle class not growing gains or anything like that. But you got to understand, you know, that's just political talk, because the majority of rich people don't give a shit about the middle class. And that goes for Democrats and Republicans or independents, you know. And it's a crushing feat. I could imagine making about $90,000 a year. You're married, you have two or three children, you have a mortgage, you have a car payment, you have this and that, and then it's also established in the tax code that the middle class people pay the highest taxes over people who are low income, who most don't pay taxes anyways as far as federal taxes if they don't make over $10,000 a year. And also you have the whole basically the middle class pays for majority of our taxes. You know, the middle class is the ones who put money on into the, you know, to keep our cops and keep our military and keep our keep all the senators and all the politicians paid and our schools and stuff. And they're really the one that who supports this country. And it's really a shame that they don't really get the breaks that they need. But then it's also probably, think about it, it's probably a little of a political scam that, you know, because they say that the majority of the people who are working people are lower middle class and lower income people. They say those, you know, that's keeping this country alive, but yet they're still underwater. Well, that just didn't happen over the Obama administration of the last 7 years. This has been the middle class has been sharing the burden of the taxes in this country for years now, you know, 20, 30, 40 years. You could go back. So this is nothing new. It's nothing new at all. And, you know, it really surprised me was that when you get down and you think about country has gone, and you know, we elect the first African American president, you know, it's just the coalition was young people, people of color, a lot of European Americans. It was just a beautiful coalition, but to keep that coalition took a lot of a lot of people felt that to keep that coalition, that you would basically have to keep that coalition to beat Donald Trump. And the fact is that a lot of people were not inspired by the Democratic nominee, Hillary Clinton. And what I mean is Hillary Clinton is not President Obama. President Obama and Michelle Obama are people who America loves to a long, long, lengthy strength of things. So just to say that the coalition didn't show out for her is correct. They did not show out for her. But also, once again, you must think about the reason why they didn't show out for her. People say it's trustworthy or this or that. But, you know, in that, especially in the African-American community, our situation hasn't changed that much over the Obama administration, but it became better. So we don't blame President Obama for not investing money or a stimulus package directly to the African American community for jobs and education. Now, if he would have done that, that would have been lovely. That would have been perfect, but we didn't expect him to do that because then everybody would say, oh, he's the president for the black people or African Americans instead of everybody. So he was damned if you do, damned if you don't. For one thing, he's the president, and he's president of all of us. And so, you know, we give President Obama a pass, and we wish him and Michelle and their kids a happy future, you know, and we honor them. And first thing we're going to do is we're going to try to protect his legacy at all costs. At all costs, we're going to try to protect his legacy. Well, you know, getting back to why Donald Trump won, you know, I looked at the percentages of people who voted for Donald Trump, and I was really astonished and really, really thinking. Once again, this is Cedric Shabazz of God Brother Radio, live in Las Vegas, Nevada. And like I was saying, I was really thinking, and I was really astonished. The European Americans who voted for Obama and Democrat surprised me by at least half of them voting for Trump. And I was thinking, they said most of the European men American men and mostly European American women voted for Trump. And also, I was very astonished to think about 30% of our Asian Americans voted for Trump. And then you had the other, whatever that means, percent, but then you had 30% of non-Mexican Latinos in Florida voted for Trump. And then, you know, also there was 13% of African men who voted for Trump, and 8% of African American community as a whole chose to go for Trump. And you know what they all have in common? They want to see a pay raise. They want to have jobs with higher wages. They want the economics. But they haven't realized that basically when they voted for Trump, they also voted for his other policies. And those other policies is going to affect 11 million undocumented people. His policies is going to affect millions of people in a negative way. But it really surprised me that there was really a 30% non-Mexican Latino vote. And when they were interviewing the non-Mexican Latino votes in Florida, the Puerto Ricans, the Cubans, and Dominican Republican brothers and sisters, they were most of the people they interviewed was pro-business, was people who wanted higher wages. But they never thought about if Trump won, that was basically selling out the Mexican population and immigrants. It was like, you know, it's almost like saying F the Mexicans, you know. We don't care, you know, we're Puerto Ricans, we're Dominicans, we're Cubans. You know, we don't have the same problem as the Mexicans, which they don't, because their countries are not border countries to the United States, but Mexico is. So they basically just sold out our Mexican brothers and sisters, which I thought that was a piece of shit thing to do, you know, for money. And, you know, and another thing is, 30% of the Asian community was, they're pro-business anyway, so that didn't really surprise me. And African-American men that voted for him, that didn't surprise me either, because there is a percentage of us brothers who think that if we deport 11 million people or 2 or 3 or 8 million people out of this country, that there'll be jobs for us. But to be honest with you, I'm telling you, I can't talk for most brothers and sisters, but I don't see no brothers gonna go on the top of a roof and work on a roof out here in Las Vegas in 115 degrees. I don't see many brothers willing to do that. And in fact, I don't see million brothers want to go into the field and pick fruit. That would be too much like us going back to being slaves picking cotton. So you know what? You know, a lot. You know, I'm not saying all brothers feel that way, but I'm pretty sure there's a lot that do feel that way. And then there's some brothers who feel like, you know what, the reason why I don't have a higher wage job or the reason I don't have a job is because of our Mexican illegal immigrants, which is unfair and which is scapegoating. And I'm sure people who feel that way should be ashamed of themselves. It's an excuse to be ugly, and it's really, really an excuse to be ugly. But at the same time, you know, I wasn't surprised that there was 8% of African American vote in whole voted for Trump. You know, I'm not surprised at all. But see, the point is, 94% of us African Americans voted for Clinton on a whole basis. So, saying that, you know, there's this theory that because the black vote was down in, let's say, North Carolina and Florida and other places, there's this theory that the blacks were to blame for the reason why Hillary Clinton is not president of the United States, and that's not true. That's not true. We did come out and vote. And let me remind you, North Carolina, they went ahead and they used voter suppression to take away 158 polling places that were in the African-American community. So African-American community had 158 polling places less to go to than they did 4 years ago, which was a strategic move to suppress the joint. Because if they would have kept 158 polling places, I guarantee you Hillary Clinton would have won North Carolina, and Donald Trump would not be able to win the president of the United States if he lost North Carolina. That's why, you know, that's probably the reason why Hillary Clinton lost. That's the main reason. And they're saying, oh, she didn't go out to the rural areas and talk to the European Americans out there in the country. No, she didn't, and that was a mistake too. Because a lot of those people in the rural area, there were some of them who did, who were, they call Reagan Democrats, but some of them did vote for Obama. So, you know, it's all about going to the economics. Once again, this is Cedric Chavez of God Brother Radio in Las Vegas. And I'd like to thank you all for listening to this particular program called Why Did Donald Trump Win? And once again, if you want to continue to support God Brother Radio, please go to Zazzle, Zazzle.com/Cedric Chavez, and you will go to a God Brothers Entertainment and Apparel, which we have thousands of products on there. We have shirts, we have hats, we have posters, we have jackets. And please, once again, go to Zazzle, Zazzle. .com/Cedric Chavez, CedricShabazz, and please purchase to products to keep us going, to keep us on the radio. Once again, everybody, God bless you. Have a blessed Sunday, blessed Saturday, and I will talk to you next week. Goodbye.